Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Good to be with you this day. We have another great conversation ahead of us, looking at family topics, things that are pertinent to faithful family life with a Lutheran worldview. Do you have a college student? Are you a college student? Going to become a college student? Do you care about college students? We're going to talk with the Reverend Marcus Zill, director of LCMS Campus Ministry, LCMSU. We're going to talk with him in just a little bit about a number of things going on with LCMSU and some important topics. Maybe you've heard about campus ministry in the news recently, especially in California. So hope you can join us for the conversation. Thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting this program. To find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin, go to our website, kfuo.org. Look for the sponsor section. There you'll find CUW, Concordia University, Wisconsin, in the sponsor section. Click on that, and that'll take you to their page. Go check it out, kfuo.org, and look for Concordia University, Wisconsin, in our sponsor section. Joining me by phone today, the Reverend Marcus Zill, the Director of Campus Ministry for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and LCMSU. Good morning, Pastor Zill.
Hey, good morning.
Thanks so much for taking some time to talk with us this morning. We're talking to you live from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So it's still pretty early morning. Well, early morning for you, huh, for a campus ministry guy.
Well, yeah, we're used to staying up till after midnight, so this is pretty early. But no, the bottom line is that we're getting all the residual effects from this hurricane that passed through Cabo San Lucas and has been in the news. And so I'm sitting outside. I could do your weather forecast live if you're going to actually quote the weather from Albuquerque.
Yeah, you're due for some heavy rain all the way through Friday, looks like.
Yeah, we could get anywhere from about 6 to 10 inches, they're saying, and that's a lot of rain in a part of the country that isn't used. The ground is not porous like in St. Louis, where it's used to receiving it. Here it looks at it like, you know, what the heck is this? What do we do with it? Let's get rid of it. And so it flows everywhere, and so it's going to be kind of interesting around here. But fortunately, we're on fairly high ground. So I'll be all right. I will not drown while we're doing the radio program.
Thank you for the disclaimer. I appreciate it. Well, you know, what was it about 2 years ago in 2013, LCMSU really came into a clear existence, and a conference kind of kicked things off. The Unwrapped conference in January of 2013, I think it was, correct?
Yeah, that's when we had, basically, to give your listeners a little bit of the history, I mean, we had had a period where, you know, money's tight. We didn't have money in the Synod for campus ministry in terms of support. Campus ministry, of course, is always going on because the real heroes are those that are doing it locally. Oftentimes, without a lot of reflection, a lot of money, a lot of revenue, a lot of resources, and so there's a lot of people doing it. But when the new structure came about in the Synod, we decided, some of us, to kind of go to President Harrison and say, hey, we don't need to just rearrange some checks on the ship here. We need to get some chairs onto the deck of the ship. And one of those things is campus ministry. And so it's been kind of a year and a half, two-year-long process. But one of the things that they said was, what's the one thing that we could do to be helpful for everybody in campus ministry? And I said, well, we need to get together. We haven't gotten together in over a decade. And so the Unwrapped Conference even predated LCMSU. In fact, we unveiled the whole concept of LCMSU at that conference. And that conference was devoted to apologetic themes that we were unwrapping, as kind of like an epiphany gift after the beginning of the new year in early January, unwrapping God's gifts for God's people while they're on break. And we had about 425 college students and other interested people, and especially those that are staff members and those campus pastors and other lay people that work in the field. And it was the largest gathering of that kind in some 40 years. And so that was really a big launch for what we have going now. And my position, I was just installed a couple of weeks ago in St. Louis, is designed to help kind of bring that support and the capacity of the Synod in a much more consistent way going forward.
So now we have LCMSU, this mutual encouragement from, really this network, if you will, of campus ministries. What is campus ministry? What does it mean to be a campus ministry?
Well, that's the age-old question. And everybody is always trying to define the term, excuse me. And my answer is really rather simple. It's no different than the ministry. It's just that you're dealing with, it's like any other ministry. The ministry isn't something that really changes. Ministry is ministry. We're caring for people with God's word and his sacraments, but we're doing it in a specific time in their life when they need it most. And college students are unique. Are they adults? Yes. Are they kids? Yeah. They're kind of tweeners. They're kind of in between. They're in that land, that little zone between full blown adulthood. You're on your own. You got to pay for all your stuff, and that land where they're still learning about the transition and the role that they're going to take, going from being in high school and being under their parents' tutelage and growing up and being full fledged adults. So really, campus ministry is no different than the ministry. It's just that you're doing it in a unique time and a unique context with unique people with unique needs.
And with that time in life, you explained it as that time between our youth, our childhood and adulthood and independence. And with that time in life as a college student comes this newfound freedom and independence and lots of... It's a very impressionable time in life. Lots of decisions, choices are made. Lots of habits are established. All kinds of things are formed during those formative years of college, which seems to me all the more important that we have strong campus ministries, that we have ministry to our college students, so that they know that God's word is readily available for them. That they would have the opportunities to hear God's word, to receive His gifts in the sacraments, and to do so on a regular basis. That college isn't a time to step aside from that. When you step outside your parents' home, as you said, away from their parents' tutelage, and it's not a time to step aside from that. It's important for us to have these campus ministries to deliver God's good gifts to them in the midst of all the things that come with those formative years in college.
Well, I mean, you're absolutely right. It's a shock to the system for not only young people, but also their parents and mm-hmm. everyone around them. It's a shock. We usually don't talk about the adjustments that siblings have to make when their older brother or sister heads off to college. It's a shock to everybody because you're heading off and you're basically nearly, and I say nearly quite intentionally, you're nearly severing all of your normal everyday relationships with everybody that has served as an anchor in your life. Parents, siblings, maybe grandparents, friends that you've known your whole time growing up and going to school. And then you add to that mix the fact that you're going into, in most cases, a fairly hostile environment. I mean, there's no secret that our college campuses are a place that are increasingly hostile to Christianity. And you're showing up with all the licentiousness that goes on, I mean, all the horrible things that young people can get involved with. And you're doing that at a time that the most important thing that you're giving up is the anchor of your home church, your home pastor. And at the same time, it's an incredibly exhilarating time. It's a chance for you to spread your wings and to grow and to become stronger in your faith. But it's quite a ride. And many young people, have to take heed lest they fall, because a lot of times people think that, oh, well, my son or daughter is totally well equipped. They're going to be just fine. And you never know. The college is a jolt. It's mm-hmm. a jolt to the system. It's like you're heading off into outer space. You're going to the moon, And you get to that point where, okay, how do we survive going into this non-gravity field? And it's a jolt to your system. But it's incredibly exciting and exhilarating. But, you know, one of the things that that I think is very crucial, and I always tell people too, is that, you know, one of my greatest joys of having been a campus pastor for almost 16 years, there's a lot of different models of campus ministry, and whether you got a full-time dedicated building or whatever, but the greatest joy that, and the most important thing that I think that the young people where I served at the University of Wyoming have, now they may disagree, but they're not probably listening because they're in school, so they can't refute this, is a fact that they had me. They had a campus pastor. They had a person. Because I'll tell you, being a campus pastor is a little bit like being a surrogate mom or dad half the time. In addition, and then this is an opportunity for a lot of young people during their college years, find out, wow, these pastors, they're actually quite useful. You know, they're nice to, they're good to have around. They're willing to talk to you. They're willing to listen. And so, in a way, I always kind of help felt a little bit of a paternal instinct towards a lot of these young people because they're away from so much. But one of my encouragements to your listeners who are parents is to do whatever you can to make to cultivate that relationship. And if there's pastors listening, cultivate a relationship with these young people before they go to college. So often what happens is that there's a giant disconnect between confirmation age and when they head off for college. And there may or may not be a full-time campus pastor wherever they go to school. There may or not be a full-time or even a part-time campus ministry worker. You may not have, they may go to school somewhere where there's not, we have places even in the Missouri Synod where we don't have churches necessarily that are nearby. Now, it's few and far in between, but you still want to have a strong relationship with your pastor before you head out, because pastors, if you're listening, don't let go of your kids just because they're going off to school and you hear that there's a campus ministry there. You need to still stay in their lives and make those connections with them even after they're gone, because frankly, they're still your sheep. They're just kind of in a transition. And so we need help from both ends, not only those that are on campus, but also those that are still at home.
You mentioned that campuses are becoming a kind of a hostile environment for confessing Christians, for campus ministry. The recent situation that happened at Cal State, have you been following that and what's going on with that?
Well, do your listeners know about that? Do we need to?
We haven't talked about it on here. I guess we should give some background.
Basically, the backstory here is it's kind of a big deal that InterVarsity, which is one of the more interdenominational campus ministry groups, InterVarsity, Campus Crusade, now called Crew, and some of these groups that are on campus, and they rely completely just being on campus. They don't have local buildings and this, that, and the other thing, but they have staff people that are on campus. And a lot of our campus ministries are heavily reliant on becoming what we call recognized student organizations. It's kind of like you're on campus, you have a student club for this, a student club for that. Well, there's a lot of religious ones. And most denominational campus ministries have them, the Catholics and Protestants and a lot of interdenominational types. You've got, you know, Wiccans for Jesus. Well, not really, but you have Wiccan groups on campus, you have pagan groups, you have atheist groups. And so we encourage all of our campus ministries really to create a presence on campus to get involved as a recognized student organization. And there's a lot of bureaucratic governmental hoops that you have to jump through and a lot of disclaimers that you have to sign. And this all kind of came to the forefront in California in the last week or so, where the Cal State University system, which is 23 schools, I believe, throughout California, basically de-recognized InterVarsity, which is one of the largest campus ministry groups that there is, over the issue of whether or not the leadership of their student groups would have to confess allegiance to basically their creeds. Not to be a part of the group, to be a part of the club, but to be one of the leaders. In other words, what they were saying is, okay, we can have anybody and all these sexual orientation disclaimers, any, you know, anybody can come to this thing that they want to, whatever, you can be part of our club, but our leaders are going to be, you know, our president or vice president of the student club, secretary, treasurer. These are going to be people that confess the creed of that they require people in InterVarsity to believe. And the Cal State University system said, no, you're gone, and you can no longer be on any of our campuses. Now, I'm still piecing together the backstory on a lot of this because I'm interested to know, did InterVarsity push this? Maybe where they maybe didn't need to? With the Cal State University, is this a serious agenda by those that, that are trying to get religious groups off campus? Sometimes some of these groups can major in minors, and I'm not sure if that's the case here. So this has the potential to be anything from not that big of a deal to wow.
Yeah.
This could have precedential treatment for all of us. I don't personally think that, you know, here's one of the issues, and this is fascinating to me, because most of our Lutheran groups, what we used to do, like, because there's always the disclaimer about, you know, in order to be a student group on this campus, you have to allow anybody to be a member of your group, regardless of, you know, gender, creed, sexual orientation, yada, 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 yada. And we're always tempted to go, oh, well, no, that's where we're going to draw the line. Well, we got around it, and a lot of campus ministries get around it by saying, okay, fine, we'd love for everybody to be part of our club. It's a club. We want everybody to come. We want the Muslims to come. We want the Mormons to come. We want those who are burdened with homosexual. We want them to come. But what we put in our church constitution, our RSO constitution, was a, was another line that they couldn't control, which said, you know, membership in this club is not to be equated with membership at our local congregation. So being a part of the club, fine, doesn't mean that you're a part of the local church, and we wanted to make that clear. But we never, most campus ministries don't define something separate for their leaders. Now, it's probably not an issue, because if you have 200 students as a part of an InterVarsity club, they are the ones that are a part of the club that are going to get to vote on their leaders. And probably they're going to vote on leaders who are InterVarsity people. So if you have a smattering of people that are just showing up and really have no interest. Now, granted, could people come and co-opt something? I suppose they could. But generally speaking, 99.9% of the time, if you got 200 students in a club and they get to elect their leadership, they're going to elect people that probably would profess the ideals of the club. Because if they elect, if you're at a Christian club and they're electing a Mormon or a Muslim, you got bigger problems and dealing with the university and our bureaucracy. And so that's just an example of, you know, looking back on my own ministry on campus, it never was an issue because typically most people weren't running. It'd be a nice problem to have non-Lutherans coming to our club in spades and creating this issue, but it typically doesn't happen. So there's a lot to be seen, but this makes a lot of us uneasy. There's a situation a year or so ago at Vanderbilt University where a similar type thing happened. Sometimes it's the organization pushing the issue and drawing a line. I'm just saying that, that maybe or maybe not, we're not sure where that line needs to be drawn, but it is something we need to keep a close eye on because it could have a radical impact.
Absolutely.
I'm sure the atheists on campus would be a little upset if the Lutherans showed up and all became, and they could do it. Because, I mean, if this is what they want, I mean, we tell our LCMS students, hey, everybody show up and become a part of the atheist or Wiccan clubs and just kind of take them over. But here's my point. So you take them over, then what? What's the point? So the Lutherans run the Wiccan club, and now they go start another club, and you just end this and do this. So I think it's a little overblown, but we don't know all the details yet, but we'll see how it plays out. But yeah, there's a lot of hostility on campus, and it's no secret to any of your listeners that Christianity is becoming. We want to think about persecution overseas, and maybe we're not persecuted the way a lot of people are, our brothers and sisters in Christ, and are over in the Middle East and Africa to that extent. But we are in a lot more subtle ways, and it's getting increasingly more aggressive.
We're going to talk even more tomorrow about religious freedom and academic freedom. And is there a line between academic freedom and religious freedom? So that'll be an interesting conversation. We're going to talk with Dr. Paul Philp from Concordia University System and Dr. Gene Veith from the provost at Patrick Henry College as well about that. So you're right. College campuses are becoming more and more hostile toward confessing Christians.
I will sit out in the rain and listen to your program tomorrow. Because then I've rained for 3 days.
Don't electrocute yourself, though, sitting out in the rain. Well, what's going on with LCMSU now that we've had an LCMSU conference, the Unwrapped conference in 2013, which is when LCMSU was kind of when the whole concept and everything was unveiled, the logo came out, and so now we have LCMSU. We've had a conference. Things have been rolling for over a year now. How are things going with LCMSU and supporting campus ministry across the synod?
Well, there's so much that I can say about this, but the biggest thing is it's a wonderful joy for everybody in campus ministry and everybody that cares about college students to know that our church body has, after 12 years of not having a full-time dedicated staff person, to be a megaphone, to be a cheerleader, to be a resource, to champion the cause that the Synod has seen fit at a time that money is tight, to build that back into the structure. We always hear about, the things that we can't do, that we have to cut back, we have to make do with less means, and certainly there's not tons of money for campus ministry either, but it is a true joy. I think I can speak for everybody that cares about college students. But it does say something to everybody that's out there that's been laboring. Like I said early on, there's a lot of unsung heroes that are reaching out to college students, that are witnessing to atheists and agnostics on campus, that are doing so much to try to do outreach on the college campus. It goes even beyond our own Lutheran kids. And now they have, they have a voice. They have a place under the hood. And, yeah, campus ministry would take place because people care. But it's wonderful to see that the Synod has gotten directly into this game once again. And so, really, we're just kind of starting out. It's been kind of a transition phase. We had the first conference. We got it going. A lot of things getting cleaned up under the hood that people don't get to see, as you kind of have to build a scaffolding of support. And we're getting there. But the big news is, I don't know if you got a break coming up here, but the big news is that we are having a second conference, and it's going to become an annual thing. And the next one is also going to be at St. Louis University, there in St. Louis. Because who wouldn't want to go to St. Louis in January when they have time off over, Other places, it's like, hey, spring break, we're going to South Padre Island or our Panama City. Our young people want to go to St. Louis in the dead of the winter.
You could go further north and make it even colder.
Well, it's funny. We were going to actually go to San Antonio. I haven't told many people this. In fact, I haven't mentioned this publicly. And we were all set to go to San Antonio. I had kind of promised some place warmer. And then we found out that they're going to drain the Riverwalk. We were ready to set through the PR. And then we found out they're going to drain the Riverwalk in St. Louis. And it was like, in San Antonio. And it was like, oh, really? We're going to go. All these disappointed kids going, and they're like, well, but the restaurants are open. And it's like, you don't understand. There's good restaurants everywhere, but you don't have the Riverwalk. So we're having our second conference. The name of it is Taboo.
We'll talk more about that. Hold on to that thought. We're going to talk about that more here in just a little bit. We do need to take a quick break. We'll continue our conversation with Pastor Marcus Zill, with Director of LCMS Campus Ministry and LCMSU. We've got more coming up right after this and talk about that conference. Stick around.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
3 years ago, a heart surgeon reconstructed my heart valve using a robot while sitting at a console several feet away. This minimally invasive procedure dramatically improved the recovery process. Now, doctors are working to develop a tiny robot arm that will perform a similar surgery on unborn babies with spina bifida. It's when the spinal cord doesn't fully close on the baby's back and can result in paralysis or even death. The tiny device would have a three-dimensional camera, as well as a tool to perform the necessary tasks to close the opening over the spinal cord. All of this would ideally be done in the 16th week of pregnancy. It's possible this new tool could also be used to deal with other health issues in the womb. Join me in praying for their speedy success.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Two pastors, one an Italian wise guy, and the other a Ukrainian academic. What happens when you put them in the same room with no script and a bunch of sound effects? Well, you're just going to have to tune in to find out. The God Whisperers on Worldwide KFUO, Thursdays from 2 to 3 p.m. Central. They're fun-loving, a little off the wall, but always solidly Lutheran. You will learn something every time or double your money back. It's okay to enjoy being Lutheran.
Worldwide KFUO salutes our day sponsor on this Wednesday, September 17th, 2014. Today's day sponsor is Ruby Leifer. Today's day sponsor has made a contribution to Worldwide KFUO in loving memory of her husband, Norbert, who went home to the Lord on this day in 2012. Once again, we say thank you to Ruby Leifer of Redbud, Illinois, today's Worldwide KFUO Day sponsor.
In September, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod celebrates ministry on America's college campuses. Join your LCMS brothers and sisters in praying for and supporting campus ministry at our LCMS colleges and universities and at secular schools across the country. Congregations are encouraged to designate one Sunday in September to emphasize the Concordia University System and LCMSU campus ministry. Free resources, lcms.org/themes/September.
Hi, I'm Pastor Ted Lesh, pastor at Chapel of the Cross Lutheran Church in North St. Louis County, inviting you to listen to our KFUO radio worship broadcasts on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Active worship, preaching, music, and singing are part of every one of our services at Chapel. Join us Sunday nights at 6. It's one more broadcast worship opportunity for you from your friends at Chapel of the Cross and KFUO Radio.
Next time on Adventures in Odyssey, the Parkers begin to believe that something is wrong with their family.
Why are we always so tense?
We're not tense.
Why are you saying we're tense?
It feels tense to me.
We're getting tense talking about how we're not tense.
And Woon gets ready to unveil his next comic book creation at Comic Connellsville.
It's going to be a father, you know, and a mother.
Uh-huh.
And their kids.
Find out more on the next Adventure in Odyssey.
Saturday mornings at 8:30 on KFUO.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Today we are talking with Reverend Marcus Zill, Director of LCMS Campus Ministry at LCMSU. Pastor Zill, before we went to break, you broke the news. We have a LCMSU conference coming up in January, the second conference, January of 2015. You said something about taboo. Can we talk about that?
Yeah. Well,
can we talk about things that are taboo?
Well, actually, that is like the most perfect lead-in, and you don't even know how perfect that is. you know, the word taboo means something that's forbidden, that's prohibited, kind of by cultural mores that when you know, we're not, we just don't talk about these things.
Mm-hmm.
And so you know, we've announced that the theme is taboo, and everybody's like, taboo? What's taboo? What's forbidden? What's the deal? What can we talk about? And kind of the sub-theme is that we're going to talk about the things that the world says that we're forbidden to talk about. And in essence, and I haven't told anybody this, because we're having a big splashy kind of a unveiling of this thing in a couple days here by the end of the week, and registration will open and we'll announce who the speakers are. But in essence, the thing that's taboo that we, it seems increasingly as a church, are not allowed to talk about is basically issues related to marriage and sexuality. And of course, the big topic du jour, and something that is on the mind of, I promise you, every college student and every high school student, and even down into junior high, because the indoctrination on this issue has run amok, is the whole issue of same-sex attraction. And we basically are going to talk about the things that our young people need us to talk to them about the most. Because it gets kind of frustrating for young people, because, you know, you go back in time, you know, everybody grew up, you know, a generation ago or two generations ago, a lot of your listeners, your parents, dad would sit down, or mom, and you'd have this, you know, birds and bees talk, and it was fairly tame. And, you know, you didn't have to really talk about this much till you got to puberty. And, you know, 13, 14, 15, and even then it was, you know, and we as a church probably just didn't talk about these. You know, and, you know, sexuality is something that that is, well, these are private matters, and we just don't talk about. And what's happened is we have had kind of a generation here where the world is certainly happy to talk about this stuff. In fact, we get inundated with it. The imagery, the videos, the music, the graphics that are constantly being emblazoned on our young people's minds. You know, pornography is, I mean, it's so easy to almost stumble across stuff that you shouldn't really be seeing, mm-hmm. even when you're not even trying to see it. And, you know, and so people have been inundated with this. And of course, our college campuses are places where, you know, the topic du jour is same-sex attraction. And of course, everything in the Supreme Court in the last year or two, especially related to same-sex marriage. I mean, it blows your mind to think that in 2008, California, by a 5% margin, passed a law banning same-sex marriage or upholding marriages between a man and a woman. And in 6 years, this stuff is getting overturned all over the place, and same-sex marriage is legal in, what, 12 or 14 states already?
Mm-hmm.
And so the tide has changed, and this kind of underscores one of the reasons why, you know, we need to not just be engaged on our college campuses for the sake of our own young people, and I'm tired of, like, gifting them to the world. We need to hold on to them as they go through their college years. But we have to also be in the marketplace of ideas, and these ideas, you know, same-sex marriage and the push for it didn't just happen overnight. This has been brewing for some time, and they've been laying the foundation in our education system early on, you know, third graders, fourth graders, the sexuality classes that they have to take in sex education. You know, this is the topic that every young person that you'll talk to is like, we are just hammered with this, and we're almost afraid to say anything in support of marriage between a husband, a man, and a woman, for fear that we're going to be ostracized by everyone. And if anybody thinks that even our solid young college students that have grown up in the church are solid on this issue, I got news for them. We're losing some ground here. This is just my gut, and my gut telling me that I think probably 15, 20, 25% of our young people, if you actually ask them anonymously what they thought, they would kind of take the view of, well, why shouldn't they be able to be married?
Oh, I think numbers are higher than that.
Well, I'm still hoping. but we're losing ground because, you know, we as a church have been afraid to talk about this stuff. I noticed something last year, my last full year at my own campus ministry, that when we would do these table talk discussions and kind of stump the pastor stuff, and with the older kids, we'd do theology on tap, and we would end up, if you can believe this, sitting around talking theology at a vegan bar in Laramie, Wyoming. And they could talk, they could bring up whatever topics that they wanted to address, and they always came back to these types of things. And their eyes would just, I'd never seen this, but their eyes would light up when they would see me really addressing it as a pastor and not shying away from the tough issues. And I asked them, I said, well, this is a really burning issue for you. Well, pastor, we're inundated with this everywhere. You don't understand. Every class you're in, everything you see, this issue is being pushed as propaganda. And for many years, nobody will talk. Our parents are afraid to talk about same-sex attraction and sexuality. Pastors are afraid.
It's not being pushed as propaganda. It's being pushed as this is truth. This is, I mean, it's not just saying, well, this is a good idea. You should try it. It's being pushed as if you're not on board with this, then you're a hater.
You're right. I mean, it started out as propaganda, but propaganda has now become a norm. We're going to go there. We've engaged, I haven't mentioned this, three of our speakers, three main speakers, are all members of the Synod's God's Gift of Sexuality Task Force, which is focusing on this issue. It's coming out. I'll just go ahead and say Dr. Peter Scheer from our Fort Wayne Seminary, Dr. Roger Sonnenberg for Vice President of the Pacific Southwest District, and he's been a champion of talking about a lot of these things for many years out in California. They've been putting on these conferences for youth that they call Love Fests.
Mm-hmm.
and then also Reverend Tom Eckstein from Jamestown, North Dakota, who's the director of the Sexuality Task Force, who's been really a real light leading the charge on this issue of same-sex attraction, has written a book called Bearing Their Burden. Because it's not enough. Young people, we can't just sit here and, first of all, they need, and obviously we're going to couch this in terms of standing for God's gift of marriage. And young people are, standing for religious liberty, standing for life. We need to stand for marriage as a part of that. And so that's going to be a big part of that. And so we'll have a lot of post-Epiphany Wedding of Cana themes, and we'll hear preaching and all the marriage texts. And we'll hear a wonderful apologia for Christian marriage and godly marriage, and what that looks like in terms of our life dating, but we also have to tackle, not only issues with pornography, but especially same-sex attraction. Of course, polyamory is coming down the pike, as you well know. The whole idea of, if you can't tell people that marriage needs to be limited to a man and a woman, why not two men and three women or a man and a cat or whatever. I mean, where is this going to end? And we need to have some tools and resources. We need to arm our young people with this, and we need to kind of tackle these issues straight on. So we're committed to having some serious, straight talk, maybe even some stuff that might make a few people blush. But the Office of National Mission and those of us that care about our college students, we're committed to dealing with the things head on that they're dealing with the most. And so I'm excited for it. I'm sure there'll be a couple times they'll be like, wow, I can't believe we went there. But the point is, we need to let our young people know as a church that, doggone it, we're not going to shy away of this. We've shied away from tackling these things for a while. And so we're kind of thrilled to give kind of an opportunity for those same the sexuality task force in our synod to bring in some of their speakers and engage our young people who are really on the front lines of where this form of propaganda has now become truth and is affecting them to a great degree.
Yes, you're a former propaganda that has become widely accepted and misunderstood as truth. It's just it's frightening how easily convinced we, you know, how easily we can be convinced of something that is starts off as propaganda. We start then selling as truth. And you know, we've been talking about quote unquote taboo issues. I mean, aside from marriage and sexuality, I mean, just when we're looking at the academic environment and higher education, how easily things such as evolution are taught, and the origin of the world and all species is just so easily widely accepted as, you know, if you don't widely accept this, then you're just not intelligent. Is right. Kind of the mindset of higher education.
I would argue that, I mean, as important as all those issues are, I mean, in a lot of ways, that boat's kind of sailed already, and our young people, while we need to continue to stay on top of those issues, that's not the thing changing lives at college today. Our young people we've kind of caught up as a church with how to, you know, there's still plenty to do. But, you know, our young people, they're aware of that when they show up to college. I don't know if most of our young people are ready for the onslaught of same-sex marriage issues that they're going to be faced from almost the moment they show up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm waiting for the day that, you know, I was convinced it would be within a matter of a couple, 3 years, somebody would show up at my campus ministry and say, hey, we're gay and we want to get married here. I mean, if we can do that to photographers and bakers, not that I want to give anybody out there some ideas, but I mean, I think that would be a frontier, because in a college community, that would be very hard for a campus ministry to deal with. And I know that our campus ministries would be faithful in that regard, but I think that's the next step where this machine, this progressive machine, is now faithless.
So with the speakers that you have lined up and the presentations, how are you at this conference, the Taboo conference in January 2015, how will you go about discussing the topics, these taboo topics of marriage and sexuality? There, you said there will be presenters. Will there be lectures, roundtables? What type of format can we expect at this conference?
Well, we're still kind of working out some of those details, and I'm going to give a lot of latitude to those on the same-sex on the task force that are working through these issues. But we will have a lot more Q&A and panel discussions and things than maybe we've done in the past. Students are used to doing that when they go to lectures and things at the university. I mean, if you have 400 students, there's only so much you can do, and you want them all together at once. So we'll have also a variety of sectionals on all sorts of issues that will really get into the nitty-gritty of reaching out to those that that are, you know, caught in a homosexual lifestyle. There's a couple surprises that I can't even tell anybody until the conference. You know, we'll come at it from a variety of ways. But, you know, they're used to kind of, you know, I guess the bottom line is that I'm going to lean heavily on those that know that are exploring these topics the most, and trying to give them the platform. And so, whatever they think is best, and we might get the bug into a lot of college students and get a sample to find out what they think would be helpful. But we've got a lot of flexibility in that regard. Bottom line is, if we're willing to go there and tackle this topic, we want to make it as useful for our young people as possible.
Now, you mentioned there are some things that you can't even reveal until the conference. Oh, sure. Just slide that right in there and then try to go on. Nice move.
Yeah, well, you got to keep it. There's some things that are taboo until January 7th at the end of the conference. So, anyways, I appreciate the opportunity to talk about that. I think it's going to be, you know, everything, the registration is going live. A lot more of this information is getting put together right now. And if any of the communications department people on there in the International Center going, Jill, I can't believe you did that. We're still working on it. But thank you. But it's coming, and it's going to be out soon, and it's going to be a great conference, and St. Louis University is a wonderful site, and so we're looking forward to it. There's some other things. I don't know if we got much more time here.
Sure. Yeah, you bet. We got about 10 minutes.
What couple of things to give some of your listeners an idea of some of the other things that will probably be coming down the pike here. Hopefully in March, been in discussions with folks there at KFUO, with Pastors Wanitzer and D'Onofrio about doing a college-age radio program where we can discuss some of these things on an ongoing basis, on a weekly basis. Tentatively going to call that the Student Union. And so we're kind of beginning the process of working towards that. Going to get through the conference and then hopefully get going with that after we get to the first of the year. And one of the things that I think is really crucial, I mean, I always like to say there's really four areas of where we need support and help in campus ministry and areas of interest and emphasis. First of all, and on a program like this, faith and family, you know, keeping our own, helping our young people that go off to college is critical. Then you also have the opportunity to witness to those that have also been victims of all this former propaganda, those who are atheists and agnostics, those who are not in the faith. I mean, our college campuses are incredible mission grounds in this regard in terms of evangelism. So that's number two. Then you have the huge amount of international students that are coming from all regions of the world to come to our educational institutions that don't know the gospel and are the best and brightest of their future leaders for when they go home. So there's a lot of opportunities for outreach there. And then, of course, I think you're going to talk about this a little bit tomorrow with Dr. Beath and Reverend Philp, the whole idea of academic freedom of, you know, we need to have a place at the square of in the academic square of ideas. Our college campuses are incubators of ideas, and we have to be there not just to teach our own young people about God's gift of marriage, for instance, but to teach those that are in that incubator of ideas that are toying around with these things what God has to say about it. We can't just sit back and let the world be the only place, have the only platform for this.
That would imply that Christians can't think.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, one of my dreams is to have a conference down the line where we promote real science, where we have a conference where we're promoting standing for God's gift of science. You know, science is in my forte, but I'm tired of hearing that, you know, who are we as Christians to be able to delve into these things? And, you know, frankly, we have a place at every table, and we need to force our way there, even if they won't let us go. And so we have something to say about everything. And in that regard, it's exciting. But lastly, I just wanted to point out that probably within, I've mentioned this on your program before, but hopefully by next fall, my hope is to start unveiling some worldview boot camps for targeting kind of juniors in high school, those that are just starting to think about college and the issues that they're going to face. Like I always tell people, going to college is like going to the moon. And if you were going to go to the moon, you probably wouldn't just show up and say, hey, I'm here to go to the moon. You'd have to get prepared. You'd need to go probably spend 3 or 6 weeks getting trained for what you're going to face when you go to the moon. Well, we need to start thinking about our universities that way, and young people are sliding out of the faith much earlier. They're not waiting until they get to college. And so we want to address them and kind of target them earlier, right at the point that they're thinking about where they're going to go to college, how do I choose a college, what is college going to be like, what do I need to be prepared for. And so we not only are going to try to develop resources, but also provide opportunities for them to get together with campus ministries and local regional places and kind of discuss these issues and get prepared before they even step onto the road.
Being equipped to face those challenges that they will as a college student early on, that's great.
No, so that's probably more than the conferences. That's probably the thing that I'm most excited about, where we're going to go with LCMSU, which is interesting because it's about drilling down and connecting young people to colleges and campus ministries and giving them the toolkit they need to show up and be ready to roll and not be deer in the headlights, and they go, I didn't see a hostile professor in theater class coming. What's up with that? They'll go, oh, yeah, I was ready for this. Because you know what? If they're ready for that, they can grow in their faith by leaps and bounds in this context if they have the right support and they're prepared. And then if they have that and if they're girded up in their faith, they can be awesome young people to witness towards their faith to others around them.
Absolutely. Having them just to be ready for that. You're right. Sometimes it happens in places where you don't expect it. You think, okay, maybe a philosophy professor, but it turns out that, what's really challenging or difficult is in a math class.
You know, there's not a class on a typical secular college campus where you may not hear something that will challenge your faith. Hmm. And frankly, the soft sciences, and when I mean soft sciences, I mean, the hard science, engineering, math, biology, to a certain degree, civil engineering, 2 + 2 has to equal 4, because you don't want a civil engineer building a bridge for you who believes in funny math. And so to a certain degree, it's a little bit easier to hold on to your faith in the hard sciences. But in the soft sciences and the philosophies and the psychologies, women's studies, the religious studies at a secular university, a lot of those areas, English, theater, these are the places that are a little bit more challenging because you don't expect it.
Well, for those who have a college student, care about college students, or are college students and not connected with a campus ministry, where can they find out, how can they get connected to a campus ministry? What's the easiest way to do that?
Well, the best place to go is lcms.org/lcmsu, or you can even plunk in lcmsu.org and it'll push you there. We're in the process of updating the website in the next couple of days. When the conference information comes out, it'll be a little bit easier to navigate. But there's a wonderful map there that shows you where all of our campus ministry chapters are, mm-hmm. where those that are doing campus ministry, if they haven't done so yet, can go and register as a chapter so people can find them. And also a wonderful little device called Campus Link, where if you look at the map and you go, oh, I can't find a place and my young person is going to such and such a place, you can connect with us and we'll help give your name and your information to someone that is in a locale that's ready to look after you. So lcms.org/lcmsu.
Very good. lcms.org/lcmsu takes you to that page. You can get connected with a campus ministry that way. And likewise, if you're involved with a campus ministry that's not on that network, get connected and get on that network as well. You can find out more information there on the website. It's a great tool. It's a handy tool. I love the map on there with the little things that pop up, the little logos that pop up and show you where LCMSU is.
Trying to turn them into little LCMSU logo pennant flags, but we're working on it.
Well, it's pretty cool that you can do that. You can find out where there's a nearby campus ministry. And coming soon, information about the 2015 conference Taboo. What an interesting topic. What a man, that's going to be intense.
It's so awesome, and frankly just saying the word taboo is kind of crazy.
It gets some attention, that's for sure.
Taboo.
Well, I'm sure it's going to be a great conference. I had some college students that attended the 2013 Unwrapped conference and just had great things to say about it. And I know that you'll be lining up great speakers for that. And the worship, I'm sure, will be outstanding. We've been talking with the Reverend Marcus Zill, Director of LCMS Campus Ministry and LCMSU. Pastor Zill, thanks for being our guest today on Faith and Family.
Hey, thanks, Andy. Appreciate all you do.
You bet. Coming up in just a little bit, Thy Strong Word. Going to study God's Word right here on Worldwide KFUO. Stick around for that and more great programming throughout the day.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at kfuo.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.